I'm sitting here in the studio with Professor Leslie Blau, who is a distinguished academic in political studies at the University of Namibia, and was recently promoted to full professorship. He specializes in the political economy of Southern Africa, Africa's international relations, Namibian foreign policy, and electoral politics. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And my name is Wanda Guchu, and I shall be conducting this interview. Now, Prof, Namibia has just had its elections, and quite a number of issues have come up. Now, we want to look at the electoral systems in the region, that is SADC. How does Namibia's electoral system compare to the electoral systems of other countries such as Botswana that just had its own elections, and South Africa as well?
Okay, I think it's important to first and foremost underscore the fact that electoral systems are not designed in a vacuum. They are informed primarily by the historical, cultural, and political culture of a country. In the case of most Southern African countries, they were colonized by the British. So that the electoral system that they adopted after independence basically was as an imitation, to my mind, mm-hmm. on the British system. In the case of Namibia, we generally have three political electoral systems of importance.
Yeah.
I think two in this context would be of importance to us.
Mm-hmm.
The first one would be the first past the post that they use in Botswana. And Mauritius,
yeah.
I think in Zimbabwe, in Namibia and South Africa in particular, they use the proportional representation system.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important also to point out to your listeners that there are fundamental differences between these two systems. On the one hand, the first past the post that they use in Botswana and Mauritius, they normally use what is called the constituency-based approach towards elections. In other words, voters elect the representatives based on constituencies. So the country is then divided into different constituencies,
mm-hmm.
and people vote directly for the persons that they want to represent them.
Yeah.
In the case of a proportional representation system, what happens is that the whole country is viewed as one electoral map. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that countries like Namibia and South Africa, people then vote based on political parties and their ranking within, or rather they vote for the representatives based on the political parties that they represent.
Yeah.
So in essence, they vote for the political parties instead of the direct representation and
yeah.
representatives.
Yeah? Yeah. But how does that affect the outcomes?
I think it's important in that when you look at the first past the post system, we could argue that because people directly elect their representatives, there is a higher degree of accountability. Yeah. If you do not execute whatever the electorate would want, then it means that the probability that you are not elected come the next elections is greater,
mm-hmm.
In the first past the post system as opposed to the proportional representation system. Because in the proportional representation system, you are basically selected by the political party, it means that your loyalty then lies with the person that appoint you, and that means that you're not directly accountable to the electorate.
Mm. Now, that exactly is what Namibia is facing now. But then the other thing here is, what lessons can Namibia then learn from the other systems?
I think if generally what you need to look at is for me, the biggest problem that we face with the system that we have at a national level is that because it does not allow for direct accountability,
mm-hmm.
we run the risk of emasculating democracy in the country. So we need to find a way, to basically see how we can overcome the gap between, because at the local and regional level, we do have first past the post. So that gives us an opening, I think, to look at how we can marry and mm-hmm. then come up with a mixed system where we then elect our leaders nationally. I think the other important thing to note at this stage is also that when it comes to Namibia, the fact that we have smaller parties suggests therefore that there is a need to consciously work towards incorporating and accommodating minorities in the country.
Yeah.
We do not explicitly make provisions for minorities, unlike the system that they have in Mauritius, for instance,
yeah.
where you have what they call the best loser system,
mm-hmm.
where you then allocate a certain amount of votes or rather seats for minorities. And yeah. I think that could then, to my mind, overcome some of the challenges that we face, because what we see now is that yeah. you have so many parties, 21 parties, and I think in that sense, the democracy...
21 parties, 15...
Years.
Inspiring...
Yeah.
Aspiring
presidential candidates. So you see where the problem lies, is that you now have almost wasted votes, because you have... parties that get 2,000 votes. And I think that, to my mind, although we argue that proportional representation has the propensity to open up the political space and allow for a multi-partyism, I think that is indeed the challenge, to my mind, that we face.
Now, in most cases, in every case where there's an election in the region, we find the SADC sending an observer mission. Now, how effective are those ones?
I think
almost every other time, their reports are positive, fair, free and fair. They don't suggest anything else.
That is indeed a challenge, especially when it comes to, but not only SADC, but international observers generally.
Yeah.
I think we need to distinguish between the problem or the solution to the problem, to my mind, arises because there's no clear distinction or no clear understanding of the difference between election observation and electoral monitoring.
Mm.
In the case of Southern Africa, and in particular SADC observer missions, these are normally run by the chairperson or the chairperson of the organ of politics, defense, and security, a very contentious body, as you well know.
Yeah.
They are basically tasked with leading the observer missions. In the case of Namibia, we have, unlike South Africa, who had Zambia. We had Zimbabwe, and of course Zimbabwe is notorious for the promoting free and fair elections.
Yeah.
But not only that, I think when you look at generally the arguments around election observation, and of course I will of course come talk to you about the difference between election observation and election monitoring. Observation basically comes from the fact that we don't interfere. We don't have interventions.
You just have to see. Yeah.
So that you do not. There's no corrective mechanism in the process of observing elections. Yeah. So that after the fact, what you then do is to provide a report to say that the elections has been free and fair, and of course, historically, given the history of Namibia, the liberation movements in the region, there is no way that they are not going to defend each other.
Yeah.
And that is where the problem lies. You see, there is, to my mind, a degree of, whereas election observation previously was concerned with democracy promotion,
mm-hmm.
we now, to my mind, is concerned with peace promotion,
yeah.
where political stability trumps everything.
Yeah.
So that democracy, the concern with democracy and the fairness of election is not that fundamental to election observers, particularly mm-hmm. ones in Southern Africa.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, what are the common challenges SADC countries face when it comes to conducting credible elections? Because we have had quite a number of issues now. Zimbabwe, Mozambique is on fire as we speak. I never heard anything from Botswana though, but here now.
I think the biggest challenge has to do with the, and I think that's where the difference between Botswana and the rest of the region, we can of course not classify Zambia as an anomaly in this case. I think it is more or less one of the democracies that is that we could, when you look at political theory, consider a consolidated democracy, because we've seen a turnover of government that's different from the ruling party of the country, the party that came to power at independence. So the biggest challenge to my mind would be the independence of the electoral management bodies in the region. The alliance and the suggestion that they are aligned to ruling parties is a fundamental flaw of the way in which we structure them. Despite the fact that we have, for the most part, constitutional provisions that gave rise to these bodies, and of course we have electoral laws and the legal framework that guide them on as to how to conduct elections, we've had a number of challenges. And I think the biggest challenge has to do with the competency of these people. I think in the case of Namibia, it speaks, or to my mind at least, it suggests that the people that are in charge of elections, we need to seriously consider their capabilities of those people.
Yeah.
I do not think that they, and again, this is my personal opinion, is competent to basically run elections in this country. So we need to look at how we've structured the electoral management institutions, to what extent they abide by the law. And of course, the other problem is that when we talk about election monitoring and we talk about election assistance, that is one of the problems that we need to look at. How we administer elections poses a big challenge, and that is where the international observers and where SADC observers should come in. I think there's a need for us to look, to be preemptive when it comes to determining the fairness of elections by looking at all the procedures and policies that need to be put in place when we have elections.
Yeah. We just saw the elections in the United States. Millions and millions of people voting within, you know, a very short space of time. Now, I want to believe that that was enabled by technology. But then what would you suggest that SADC countries should also do to use technology to speed up the process?
I think the biggest challenge for us in Africa generally is that the level of internet penetration is very low. Comparatively speaking, if you look at globally, you have a 60% internet penetration. In Africa, you have close to 40%. So already, and of course, we have challenges of electricity and so forth. So we need to get all of these, I think, administrative problems and challenges that we face, we need to get that out of the way. And of course, it goes without saying that cybersecurity, the issue of cybersecurity need to be addressed on our continent as well. Whether or not technology would better the improvement of our election processes depends to a large extent on like I said, the institutional structures that we put in place. But currently, what we lack, institutional infrastructure to conduct elections electronically, at least.
Okay.
And of course, the credibility of elections from 2014 onwards in Namibia, when we use the electronic voting systems, that has not been addressed. So we need to address that as well.
All right. That was Professor Bablau from UUNAM. Let me say thank you to you for coming through.
Thank you so much for having me.